Death May Surprise Us, a thriller in 6 episodes by Ted Willis. Dramatized by him from his novel of the same name. Part 2, Westminster 1. Starring Leslie Sands as Jack Stoddart, Mary Wimbush as Jess Stoddart, Cyril Shapps as Victor, and Jeffrey Matthews as Commander Knowles. Death May Surprise Us.
It was hard, almost impossible to believe at first, that Jack Stoddart, the Prime Minister of this country, with his wife, should be kidnapped in broad daylight. And that this should happen within a few yards of a huge crowd seemed to be beyond credibility. So much so that the first news bulletins made no mention of this extraordinary development.
A senior police officer was killed this afternoon when a bomb exploded in the grounds of Oakfield House in Leicestershire, where the annual fete of the local Labour Party was in progress. A telephone message warning the organisers to clear the area was received some minutes before the explosion, and it was while trying to locate the bomb that Detective Chief Inspector Daines, aged 51, met his death. So far, no group or person has claimed responsibility. A massive police search is now going on, and we'll have further news in our next bulletin.
Meanwhile, down in Whitehall, in the corridors of power, it was panic stations all round, or something pretty close. The nation usually closes down on Saturday afternoons, so the key ministers and officials, much to their disgust, had to abandon their leisure pursuits and head for an emergency meeting at the Home Office.
Ah, Douglas.
Sorry, I'm late, Home Secretary.
No problem, we've only just started. What good works did we drag you away from?
Cricket, actually, Home Secretary.
Oh, good Lord, I hope you weren't batting.
Luckily, no.
Good. Gentlemen, this is Douglas Lamb, my principal private secretary. Mm-hmm. He's relatively new, so you may not have met him. Douglas, Sir George Owen, the Commissioner of Police, and Sir Maurice Jennings of Fire.
How do you do?
Now, Douglas, first things first. See if you can rustle up some tea, will you?
It might be difficult, Home Secretary. Saturday and all that.
Could we get on, Home Secretary?
Of course, Commissioner. Douglas, I'm sure you'll arrange something. Try your charms on one of the messengers, eh?
Yes, Home Secretary.
Now, where were we? Ah, yes. I was about to ask, can you be 100% sure? I mean, there's no possibility of error. We'd look pretty foolish if we started a hue and cry and the PM suddenly turned up.
I spoke to the Chief Constable in Oakfield. All the evidence indicates a kidnapping, carefully planned and daringly executed.
By whom? Morris, any thoughts?
Not as yet.
The IRA? Provisionals?
Impossible to say until my experts have examined the bomb fragments.
I doubt the IRA. Not their style. The bomb, yes, of course. But this sort of kidnapping would be something quite new.
Any reason why they shouldn't try a new tack?
No.
Well?
An operation as complex as this, I'm pretty sure we'd have got at least a hint of it from our inside contacts.
Well, does anyone have any idea at all about this? I mean, about the objectives of the people behind it?
We shall know that when they contact us.
Do you think they will?
That is the usual pattern.
Well, suppose they simply kill him, murder him.
No, that's not likely. Not yet, at any rate.
Why so sure?
If they'd wanted to kill the PM, they could simply have left him to be blown sky high in that caravan.
No. Well, there's no point in sitting here playing guessing games. What is happening at Oakfield, Commissioner?
I've sent in a team under Commander John Knowles.
Good?
The best.
Did you clear it with the Chief Constable?
He asked for Knowles. He went up by chopper, so he should be there at any moment.
Commander Knowles?
Good afternoon!
This way, sir. Chief Constable's up at the ace, talking to the press.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is all I can tell you at the moment. Thank you.
He's told us now.
Chief Constable, may I ask you...
No, you may not, Mr. Hemmings. I have no further statement to make at this time. You'll be kept fully informed.
Commander Knowles has just got his.
Oh, coming. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Lashwood.
Yeah? Ah, Bert Hemmings, ace reporter of the County Times, no less.
Might I have a word?
Well?
What has happened to the Prime Minister?
You heard what the Chief Constable said.
Look, you're the agent here. When this is all over, when they've all gone, you'll still be here. And you'll need the goodwill of the local press. You don't seem to
realize... Don't try that line with me, Sunshine. Don't try blackmail. It won't wash. I was here when you were still a leer in your father's eyes. I've survived so far without your help, and I reckon I'll be able to hang on a little longer.
Mr. Lashwood, I didn't mean...
Goodbye, Mr. Hemmings.
Right, gentlemen. Well, I won't keep you. And I won't attempt to tell you what needs to be done. You know that better than I. I shall be available at all times.
Thank you, Home Secretary.
Douglas.
Home Secretary's office? Ah, yes. Put him through. The Deputy Prime Minister for you, Home Secretary.
Ah. Billy, I take it you heard the news. No, no further developments. Well, that's it. Completely disappeared. No trace at all. Well, we've held off the press, but we can't do so for much longer. Well, as soon as you get back, we ought to issue a statement.
Thank you.
Good. Well, I can hold the fort until then. Emergency cabinet at 10 tomorrow morning.
Sir?
Fine with me. Hold on a minute, will you? My private secretary has just passed me a note. No, Billy, it is not good. A report from Oakfield. There's a small airfield 5 miles north of the town. Apparently an unidentified aircraft took off from there about 10 minutes after the explosion. This particular airfield hasn't been used for 5 years. It's scheduled for redevelopment as a housing estate. Abroad? Well, it seems likely, but where? Where the devil would they take him?
Remove the blindfold and untie his hands.
Yes, comrade.
Where is this place? Where are we?
Silence! Listen to me, for I will tell you only once. You are a prisoner here. You have no name, a number only. It is 50810. 50810. Now repeat that.
50810. Now listen.
Silence! I shall not warn you again. You will remain silent at all times unless given permission to speak. When I enter this cell or one of the other guards, you will stand over by the wall at attention. When ordered to speak, you will always repeat your number. On the bunk there, you will find a uniform which you will wear at all times. Failure to comply with these regulations will result in drastic punishment. Do you understand?
Do you understand that you're speaking to the British Prime Minister? That the direst consequences...
Now perhaps you will obey orders. Just to remember, you are nothing here. Nothing. A number only. Come, Valchek.
Remember.
My wife. Where's my wife? What have you done with my wife?
What's your name, Constable?
Cook, sir.
I make no criticism of your driving, Cook, which seems to me all it should be. But when you're driving me, will you do your best to remember that we are not on the television? This is not a rerun of the Sweeney or Starsky and Hutch.
Sir,
I think the Commander Knowles is referring to the siren.
There is no need to have the damn thing blaring all the time.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Mrs. Oddle?
Police?
Yes, I'm Detective Inspector Wiley, Oakfield Police, and this is Commander Knowles from Scotland Yard.
Madam?
You rang the station?
Of course. Soon as I heard that report on the wireless about the bomb and all that. He should have rung, really. My husband, I mean. But he can be that cussed at times. After all, he saw the blessed aeroplane, not me. Ring the police, I told him, but would he? Oh, not him. It's the phone, you see.
Is your husband in?
He's in the kitchen, messing the place up with one of his blessed models.
May we see him?
Don't see why not. Come through and I'll make you a cup of tea.
Thank you, Mrs. Hoddle.
My pleasure. Well, come on now, George. These gentlemen have come a long way to talk to you.
I wonder, Mrs. Hartle, would you mind if we had a word alone with your husband?
No, I don't mind, but I warn you, you'll get nothing out of him on his own. He'll tell me what he won't tell other folk, you see. Still, I've got plenty to get on with. I'm going to tend the chickens now, George. Uh-huh. While I'm gone, you talk to the gentlemen, do you hear? They want to talk to you. I said they want to talk to you.
Oh, aye.
See what I mean? Oh, well, help yourself to more tea if you want it.
You know a bit about airplanes, eh, Mr. Hoddle?
Aye. A bit.
That model you're making, what is it?
Harrier. A jump jet, Mark II.
Hobby of yours, eh?
Aye. Sort of hobby, you might say.
This plane you saw take off from the old airfield, were it a big plane?
No, sir. It were a single engine job. I reckon she were a Piper Cherokee 180.
You sound very sure.
Aye, I am.
How did you recognise the plane?
The wings. It had them short, stubby wings.
I see.
And Mr. Holliday, he's got a Cherokee. I've seen that often enough.
Who is Holliday?
Farmer. Big farmer. Not like me. Got a place 5 miles north of here. Keeps his plane there.
And the plane you saw, it wasn't Mr. Holliday's?
No. I looked special. Looked for Mr. Holliday's markings. He's a GAWP.
Come again?
GAWPE. Yeah, G for George, E for apple, W for winter, P for Peter, yeah. E for egg, GAWP. Easy to remember. No, the plane I saw didn't have no markings. Leastways, they've been blacked out.
Have you noticed any activity on the old airfield in the past few days, Mr. Hoddle?
No, can't say I have, sir.
You saw the plane taking off. You didn't see it come in?
No, sir. Reckon it must have come in sometime during the morning. I was in Oakfield then, getting supplies.
Have you seen any other planes using the airfield since it was closed?
No. I mean, they'd be taking too much of a chance, wouldn't they? Them runways is all broke up full of potholes.
Ah. You said you see Mr. Holliday's plane come over quite frequently.
Ah, yes, sir. But not to use that old airfield. Like I say, he has a strip on his own place. Ah. Otherwise, he uses Leicester, I think.
Anything else you can tell us, Mr. Hoddle?
Don't reckon so, sir.
Fine. Well, you've been very helpful. We're going to take a look at the airfield, and then we shall be going back to Oakfield. If anything else comes to your mind, ring the station there. Ask for me, Commander Knowles. All right?
Right, sir. I'll do that.
Commander! Here, take a look at this.
What is it?
Someone's gone to a lot of trouble to tart up this stretch of the runway. They filled in the potholes.
So they have. And they've marked the clear area with yellow paint.
Must have been done in the last 3 days, sir. I checked with the county council. One of their surveyors was here on Wednesday. The runway hadn't been cleared then.
Right. I want you to get a team to work right away. I want this runway gone over inch by inch. The whole field come to that.
Anything particular to look for, sir?
Well, what do you want, a diagram? Look for anything, man. Cigarette ends, anything. Paint tins, for example. If we can find out where that yellow paint was bought, that might give us a lead. Yeah, hold on. Do you see what I see? Over there, between those two huts.
You mean the grey van?
Yes, is it one of ours?
Oh, not to my knowledge, sir.
Come on, let's take a look. Don't touch anything.
I know better than that, sir.
Sorry. Ford Thames 1500 weight. London registration, 4 or 5 years old.
Probably nicked. Well, I'll have it checked out.
Looks a mess inside.
You wanted cigarette ends, sir. That ashtray's full of them.
Now, that rolled up bit of paper on the driver's seat. Can you reach it through the window?
Oh, I think so. Yep. Just a bit. Ah, got it. Here we are. And what is it, sir?
It's a handbill advertising a fete. But on the back, here. Look. Now, what do you make of that?
Oh, figures. Now, wait. Yes, it could be. I reckon their calculations about the wind velocities.
Yes?
Well, that must be it. The pilot of that plane must have sat in this van working out his flight plan.
And those words underneath.
I haven't a clue, sir. Foreign? Russian?
Could be Russian. Or Czech. Yes, look. That word Praha, that's the Czech spelling for Prague.
God, Czechoslovakia. Do you reckon that's where they've been taken?
Good morning, Mrs. Stoddart. I said good morning, Mrs. Stoddart. I brought tea, but if you prefer coffee, I can change it. No trouble.
No. No tea. It will be fine.
It's a beautiful morning.
Morning? Did you say morning?
Yes. Don't look so surprised. You slept well. It's already 11:20.
11:20? On Sunday morning?
Sunday. Now, I must get on. The bathroom is through there. You'll find what you need, toothbrush and so on. But if you need anything else, please ask. A boiled egg, do you, for breakfast, with some bread and butter? Sorry I can't get you a newspaper. We don't have English newspapers
here.
No,
wait. Wait. Who are you?
You may call me Jane.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant... Oh, I'm so confused. Is this a hospital?
No. Nothing like that.
Well, then why am I here?
I shouldn't ask questions.
Oh, please, please, I must know. I remember going into that caravan with my husband. Jack, my husband, where is he?
Quite safe.
I want to see him. He'll know what to do. I want to see him.
That's impossible. Now, drink your tea and try to relax.
Don't go, please, please. A moment ago, did you say something about not having English papers here?
That's right.
Well, then where am I? The windows, they're barred. Am I a prisoner? Am I?
For the time being. Oh. But you're not badly off, are you? A beautiful room, lovely view, comfortable bed. Do what I say, relax. You will come to no harm if you relax and accept things. I'll bring breakfast in a half hour. Oh, and your clothes are there in the closet.
Wait. Wait. Wait, please. I want to see my husband. Unlock this door and let me out. Do you hear? I want to see my husband. Open this door, please.
How is the woman?
A bit bewildered. I don't think she's fully taken it in yet.
And the man, Stoddart. What about him, Carol?
He's stubborn, Victor. He refuses to wear the uniform. In fact, he has torn it to shreds. And he will not use his number.
You are too soft with him, perhaps.
We're short of beating him up physically. What else can we do?
Starve him.
He has had no food since we arrived here.
Good. Keep him hungry. And don't let him sleep. Visit the cellar. His cell. Every half hour. Keep the pressure on. We have to weaken his resolve. Make him feel disorientated. Helpless.
Mrs. Stoddart seems very nice, a decent woman.
That's enough, Jane. We must be on our guard against pity or any kind of sentiment. We must not build any sort of personal relationship with either of the prisoners. We must be utterly ruthless if we are to succeed. Clear?
Yes, comrade.
Victor?
Yeah?
Suppose the Prime Minister had not entered the caravan.
What would we have done? Is that what you mean?
Yes. I mean, our whole plan was based on the premise that he would rise to the bait and going to have his fortune told. But suppose he hadn't.
We would have prepared another plan and waited for another day, another opportunity.
Exactly. But personally, I had little doubt he would enter the caravan. He cannot resist playing to the crowd, you see.
When will you begin to interrogate him?
Tomorrow, perhaps. We shall see.
Victor.
What is it, Valchik?
The British government has just put out a statement. It was on the BBC a few minutes ago.
What did it say?
That the Prime Minister and his wife have disappeared in mysterious circumstances.
Very mysterious circumstances.
Was anything said about kidnapping?
Yes. The statement hedges a bit. It stresses that little is known at the moment, but that there is a strong possibility that the Stoddarts have been kidnapped by a terrorist gang. The Deputy Prime Minister has taken over, and a special committee of the Inner Cabinet has been set up to deal with the emergency.
No mention of the plane?
No.
Good. So far, so good. So far, so very good.
Gentlemen, this is Commander Knowles, who is in charge of the investigation. Commander, let me introduce Sir Maurice Jennings and Kevin Fraser.
Commander.
Thank you, Home Secretary. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
These gentlemen, Commander, as you've probably guessed, represent the two main arms of our security services. Sir Morris is from 5 and Mr. Fraser from 6. In view of the report you sent down, I thought it best to have them here.
Of course.
Incidentally, gentlemen, at the first meeting of the Emergency Cabinet Committee, which took place an hour ago, it was decided, for the sake of convenience, to give this investigation the code name Westminster 1. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, any further news on that aircraft, Commander?
Not a lot, Home Secretary. The Cherokee 180 has a range of about 500 miles with a standard fuel capacity of 36 gallons. If it carried auxiliary tanks, the range might be increased by another 200 to 300 miles. In other words, it could make northern Italy, northern Spain, anywhere in France, Switzerland, west or east Germany.
Ireland?
Of course.
Well, the information we have so far would suggest that the plane went the other way. In fact, that it was probably heading for Czechoslovakia.
That's not possible.
Why? Once over East Germany, the pilot could easily have put down to refuel.
With respect, I didn't mean that, sir.
What did you mean?
Only, well, I know there are hard-line governments in East Germany and Czechoslovakia, but I find it hard to believe that either of them would support a terrorist outrage of this nature. The international repercussions would be horrific.
Yes, you could well be right.
May I ask the commander if he has any information as to the ownership of the plane?
No, not yet. I have a man at the Civil Aviation Authority now checking the list of Piper Cherokees registered in the UK. I understand that there are some 304 planes on the list, so it'll take time to check their movements. But in the meantime, Home Secretary, may I make a suggestion?
Yes, go ahead.
I was wondering if it would be possible for Mr. Fraser and his department to make some discreet inquiries.
Inquiries? Where?
Well, that's up to you, but I would have thought, well, East Germany, Czechoslovakia, for starters.
You want me to pop over there and ask if they have purloined our PM, is that it?
You said, only a few moments ago, that you could not believe that either the Czech or East German governments would support a terrorist coup, right?
Aye, I did, and I'm still of the same opinion.
Fine. Then why not put it to the test? You must have some contact in the region who could ask the right questions in the right places and come up with a few answers.
Well, how about it, Fraser?
Well, I think I might be able to put something together, Home Secretary.
Excellent. Now, I know that Sir Morris wants to have a few words about this fellow George Sharp.
Yes.
The young man who disappeared with Mr. and Mrs. Stoddart.
Afternoon, Fraser. Welcome to Berlin.
Ah, Sunderland.
Let me take that bag.
Thanks.
Good flight?
No short-haul flight is ever good, man. You spend more time on the ground at the airport than you do in the air. But it was adequate. Now then, have you fixed this meeting?
Mr. Lashwood?
Yes?
Commander Knowles, and this is Detective Inspector Wiley.
Oh, yes, we've met. How are you, Inspector?
Oh, surviving, just about. Can you spare a moment, Mr. Lashwood?
Of course.
It's about this fellow George Sharp, the lad who played the fortune teller at the Oakfield Fete.
Uh-huh. Look, come through to the back. I've got some comfortable chairs on the lawn and some cold beer in the fridge. There we are.
Sir, and cheers.
Cheers. Yes, cheers. George Sharp.
Hmm.
I know very little about him, really. He moved to Oakfield about 6 months ago. As far as I know, he came from London. He joined the Stapleton ward of our local party, and within a month or so, he was elected secretary.
Fast going.
Not really. There's not a great deal of competition for the job these days, and he was a worker, you see, always willing to take on the boring jobs. The odd thing is that he seemed happy to do just that, you know. I mean, he didn't identify with any of the factions in the movement. He just slogged away. So, when they wanted a secretary, he sort of took over.
What part of London did he come from?
He didn't say. At least, he never told me.
Why did he come to Oakfield?
Again, I couldn't say for sure. I have an idea he worked as some sort of rep for a double glazing firm, but that didn't last. I think he was unemployed most of the time. I know it sounds odd, but at the time I was only too glad to have a youngster who was prepared to work. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When you're short-handed, you don't ask too many questions. There was one thing that puzzled me about him.
Yes.
Well, not puzzled, that's too strong. I mean, but there were moments when I wondered if he was English-born. I was saying as much to my secretary yesterday. His English was a little too perfect, too pure. You know what I mean?
Well, what is clear now is that Sharp played a central role in the plot to kidnap the Prime Minister. That's almost certainly why he came here 6 months ago. Mm. That caravan, the one he used for the fortune-telling, must have taken weeks to prepare. Special steel door, reinforced shutters, all that. He must have had money, associates.
Who were his friends locally?
I wouldn't have a clue. I don't think he had many. I'll talk to Sue.
Sue?
Sue Swinton, my secretary. She's more Sharp's age. She might know.
Hmm. Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Leswood.
Is there anything you can tell me? I mean, have the kidnappers been in touch?
No.
Do you think the Prime Minister and his wife are still alive?
Prisoner 50810, you are wanted for interrogation. Move!
Interrogation?
Move, I said!
Death May Surprise Us by Ted Willis starred Leslie Sands as Jack Stoddart, Mary Wimbush as Jess Stoddart, Cyril Shapps as Victor, and Jeffrey Matthews as Commander Knowles. Hugh Lashwood was Preston Lockwood, the Home Secretary, Leslie Heritage, Sir George Owen, Henry Stamper, Sir Maurice Jennings, Lockwood West, Inspector Wiley, Scott Cherry, the Chief Constable and Mr. Hoddle, Peter Tottenham, Hemmings, Francis Middleditch, Carroll, Jonathan Owen, Valchik, Anthony Daniels, Mrs. Hoddle, Margot Boyd, Jane, Moyle Leslie, Kevin Fraser, Jimmy Chisholm, Sunderland and Douglas Lamb, Alaric Cotter, and the newsreader was Peter Donaldson. Death May Surprise Us is dramatized by Ted Willis from his novel of the same name, and the serial is directed by Graham Gold.